Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bride in for Harold Fisher. Well, the budget is in for Prince George's County, and it's over $4 billion. That money will be used for schools, roads, infrastructure, libraries, and a lot of other stuff. Tonight, we're talking about that stuff and what it might mean for you, county residents, and even those who may not be in the county, and how it might affect the region in general. Here to help us with this conversation is the chairman of the Prince George's County Council. He is Todd Turner. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Any questions that you may have for the council chairman, now is your chance. If you couldn't make it to Upper Marlboro and speak before the council, now you can speak directly to the chairman. Any questions or concerns? Chairman Turner, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much for having me, Bramante. I appreciate the opportunity.
Let's start off just off the bat, pretty broad, right?
Can I start with one thing?
Sure,
unfortunately,
go right ahead.
This morning we had funeral services for police officer Devon McKenzie in Brandywine. And so this was the young police officer, only 2 years on the force, only 24 years of age. Unfortunately, was involved in an accident last week and unfortunately passed away. And so I just wanted to make sure the residents, not only of Prince George's County, but the region, keep our public safety officers in their mind. I know it's not always, a good topic, but when, you lose an officer who was such a dedicated officer, even in the short period of time, he was a school resource officer in one of the middle schools, and so was really, in the short period of time, somebody who had made an impact and wanted to give back. So I just wanted to start off on that little somber note, because unfortunately, this is, I think, the fourth officer that's passed away since I've been on the county council since 2014. And so sometimes we forget that in some of the things that are going on. But to see his family today and see all the people in outpouring, I think was very appropriate. And I just wanted to start off with that. So
and you were at the service today.
Yes, myself and several members of the council were there, as well as the county executive, mm-hmm. Angela Alsobrooks, obviously the police chief, Hank Henry Stawinski, and members of the Prince George's Police Department. It's one of those somber things that we had to go through that. But it was also uplifting to see his family as they're trying to deal, obviously, with this unfortunate circumstance as well.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And we did get a chance to run a story on Officer McKenzie. And again, 24 years old, only on the police force for 2 years. So our condolences definitely go out to the family and the police force and the county at large, and all the officials that work with officers.
Thank you.
In terms of the budget, obviously there's money for police to hire more police. But let's talk broadly, $4.3 billion. When residents hear that, that's a lot of money, right?
Right.
60% of that will go towards county schools. You can never get away from that issue of county schools. How best will that money be used for the county schools?
So let me start off by saying, obviously, this is the first budget for County Executive Angela Alsobrooks, also a first budget for the new county council in Prince George's as part of that. And so my focus as the chair and my vice chair, Rodney Streeter, was to make sure that we worked together as the kind of the first step in a process as part of that. And that started with having a shared agenda as we went to Annapolis and the General Assembly, talking about schools, public safety, talking about our quality of life in Prince George's County in order to bring back the resources that we thought we would need in the county as part of that. So that's our first 3 months of the year is advocating in Annapolis. And we work very well with our leadership, particularly in the Prince George's House and Senate delegation, Delegate Michael Jackson, as well as Senator Joanne Benson, who leads those organizations. And so we were able to bring back additional resources to Prince George's County, particularly on the education side, which we know is important. I'm a product of the public schools, not here in this region. I'm from New York originally, but mm-hmm. understand the importance of opportunity that you provided through.
Not much of an accent, though. I'm hearing.
No. Everybody always said that when I came down here. I grew up in, was born in the Lower East Side of Manhattan and grew up in Staten Staten Island. So it's very retrospective, because I know if you've been watching Showtime, you have Wu-Tang Clan and having their documentary out there and bringing back a lot of memories about my youth didn't grow up too far from where they grew up as part of that. But, you know, so I public school was important to me. My wife came down here back in 2001 and had our daughter, first daughter, and she went through the public school system in Prince George's County from elementary school all the way through high school, is now a junior at the University of Maryland College Park. And so I understand personally from my family what public school education can be and should be in Prince George's County, and we're not there yet. We're still working. It's nice to know that working with our state representatives, we're able to get some of the most funding outside of Baltimore City because of the challenges that we have with our students, particularly English as a second language, those who have free and reduced meals as part of that. So we have some of the same issues that you would have here in the District of Columbia or in Baltimore City, we also have in Prince George's County. So being able to get the additional resources and the work that's been going at the state level, particularly with the Kerwin Commission, which is the predecessor commission was the Thornton Commission. Dr. Alvin Thornton is now the chair of our Board of Education in Prince George's County. And so he's talking about those things to be able to make and improve our school system. And so that money will be utilized as part of that, as part of our budget we adopt pursuant to state law, where those funds go. And the fact that we got additional funds, we were able to focus that on a couple areas, including salary for our teachers, which had been a big issue. And so I do want to commend Dr. Monica Goldson, who's the acting chief executive officer for Prince George's County Public Schools, for her efforts to address that issue, because that had been a longstanding issue.
And when you say funding raises, can we get into numbers, what that means, 1%, 2%, 3%?
So in essence, the Kerwin Commission did a down payment. It's called the Blueprint for Maryland, and the state legislature provided additional funds along the recommendations. They still have some work to do about changing the funding formulas and how those are calculated. So our expectation that working with our state representatives again, that Prince George's County will do well in that. Obviously, there's going to be a shared responsibility between the state and Prince George's County. So we know there's going to be a budgetary impact in the future. I expect that there would if they come up with that formula as part of that. So one of the things that they did was focus some of those initial funds, and that was about $90 million additionally that we didn't get in the past. And some of those were focused particularly on teacher salaries. And so they were doing a match about 1.5%. If we match the 1.5%. And so as part of the negotiations with the teachers union in Prince George's County, we were able to address that, as well as addressing some of the impacts that occurred back in the recession where they lost some funding.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking all things Prince George's County tonight. The council chairman, Todd Turner, is in the house. He will take all of your calls, your questions, and your comments. The council has passed a new $4.3 billion budget that will kick in July.
July 1st.
Yeah. So we're just right around the corner. You mentioned interim CEO of the Prince George's County schools. So that means interim means you don't have a permanent one yet to replace Mr. Maxwell.
Correct.
Where are you in that process?
So the process is dictated by state law. So technically, the Prince George's County Council doesn't have a formal role in the selection of a new CEO. That is actually the responsibility of the county executive, Ms. Alsobrooks, as well as the State Board of Education. I think the county executive, also Brooks, has already set forth the process that she's going to undertake. She had a town hall meeting to talk about the qualifications a couple of weeks ago, if I remember correctly. Obviously, I think there is a lot of support, and I would include myself and I think a lot of my colleagues on the county council, for the work that Dr. Goldson has been doing over the last almost year now. She got appointed in the summer of last year. She's taken on some real issues as a product of the school system, a teacher, administrator, and now as chief executive officer. People respect her for the work that she's done. She's been through it, you know, in different stages and phases as part of that process. And I think there's a lot of respect for the work that she's done so far. It's my hope that obviously through the process, there's a recommendation that goes both to the governor and the State Board of Education. And hopefully she will go through that process. And I know I personally will be supporting her, and we'll see what the appropriate role for the county council is as well.
I think this will probably be a rhetorical question. You mentioned that your daughter has been through the school system.
Correct.
Your wife through the school system, if I heard you correctly.
Not here.
Not
she,
here.
She went to public schools, but
Public schools, right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you've been here long enough that you've seen the public school system, and you know the hierarchy of schools in the state. You have a county that is majority African-American, the most affluent, at least one of the most affluent in the nation, yet is second from the bottom
right.
in the state among schools. I think Baltimore City is only lower. So that is seemingly the great contradiction, right? And it seems hard to square those two things. And as the council chairman, you look at the numbers, you see what's going on in the school system, you see the revolving door with the CEOs. Why is it that Prince George's County cannot find that magic wand to do better in terms of its educational level in the state?
Yeah, you know, that's one of those dilemmas. Having been here, I have another daughter who's now in high school as well. Again, my experience with the Prince George's County public school system has been great. And part of that is having the same opportunities for all the students of Prince George's County that my daughter's had through their education system. And making sure that, you know, it starts at home, to be honest with you. It's the parents, the guardians that are pushing education as an issue. No matter how much money you spend or how much you pay your teachers, your principals as part of that, if that underlying goal of making sure that your child has a great education in Prince George's County is not there, we're not going to be able to solve the problem. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, having X number of superintendents or CEOs over X number of period of years, we've done it all, you know, as far as our structure of the school system as well. We've had all elected. We've had all appointed. We now have a hybrid board. And so we're trying to find the right mix, not only in the leadership as part of that process, but also the right ingredients to make sure to be able to do that. Because I think everybody works hard. The teachers work hard. The principals work hard. But we need to get those results. And so, it's somewhat difficult for me to defend the system at the same time knowing that I've been a beneficiary of the system as well through my kids. And I want to make sure, and I think all of us want to make sure, that the children of Prince George's County get the same opportunities that my children had as well.
When you had budgetary hearings that were open to the public, they got a chance to tell you, these are our concerns, this is what we want to see done. Anything stick out for you? Anything that was pretty consistent?
I would say this. Our public hearings this year were very well attended. We have generally have about four of them. Some of them are more specific to particular parts of the budget. We have one on the Washington Suburban Sanitary Commission. We have one on the Parks and Recreation and Planning Department. And then we have two general budget hearings. Three of those four were well attended. We had one hearing, we had over 75 people. The next hearing, we had over 100. So a lot of the things they talked about, we had a lot of obviously teachers and parents come in and talk about education. That's probably the number one issue that we heard from residents as we were considering the budget. I could say that the county council fully funded the budget that was submitted to us by the county executive. Might have not been the full budget that was submitted by the school system, but because of the additional funds that we were able to get from the state, we were able to provide additional resources to address some of those issues.
County executive also Brooks held a press conference in Clinton, I believe it was recently.
Just last week.
Yeah, and the issue was about the storefronts in Prince George's County or the strip malls, and many of them are dilapidated. Many of them are empty. $1.9 million now allocated to revitalize at least 9 of them. I think the goal is to get up to at least 40 of those, maybe turn them into something different other
Correct.
Than retail centers. Talk about that a little bit and the issue of that in the county, because
right.
aesthetics matter, right?
Correct.
And having viable places to shop and to eat also.
Right. Hey, listen, our residents in Prince George's County have high expectation about the not only the services that they get, but the amenities that they have as part of that. And if you look at the county, that's changed over time. You know, obviously we can point to the big ticket ones with MGM, National Harbor, Gaylord, you know, Tanger Outlets, obviously the work that's going on at Woodmore Town Center. So we have those areas, Bowie Town Center as well, one of the kind of the original ones when I first moved down to the Bowie area as part of that. But what we're finding is, you know, the changing nature of retail and commercial office as part of that. You know, more people are shopping online, so you don't need the brick and mortar buildings anymore, except for services for the most part as part of that. And so under the previous administration under Rashearn Baker and now continued under County Executive Alsobrooks is our Economic Development Incentive Fund program. Obviously, the revitalization of Facade One is not part of that one directly, but it is part of the tools that we have in Prince George's County to try to address some of those issues. I could say at the Bowie Town Center, we just had the Sears close. As part of that, we had a very good meeting earlier this year with the company that owns it, as well as the city of Bowie, to talk about what kind of uses could go there and bring in the community in before you make a decision about how you're going to reuse something. On the facade improvement program, we're saying we as a county are willing to assist you, private businesses, to upgrade your opportunities there. It's not only county funds, but we're asking you to include, you know, those type of amenities as part of that. But it is going to be a community effort to figure out how we're going to deal with the fact that the retail market is changing. Not to mention that, you know, some of the higher end stores that people have always wanted to come to Prince George's County, you know, we're in competition here in the district, in Virginia, as part of that. One of the good things, and although we didn't weren't in the running, you know, for the Amazon in Prince George's County, it was considered for our sister county, and ultimately, you know, Northern Virginia being selected, here's our opportunity to bring Amazon, some of the ancillary businesses, to come back to Prince George's County, and we've reached out to them. We've been part of regional conversations as part of that to be able to say you can come to Prince George's County to provide the services that you need for your headquarters.
He is the council chairman of the Prince George's County Prince George's County Council. I'll say that fast twice. Yeah. He is Todd Turner. Oh, my tongue is twisted. And he is joining us tonight. We're going to continue this conversation. The phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with Jeff Brown is next on 96.3 WHUR. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the legislative agenda for Prince George's County. We'll be right back. Stay with us after this break. Back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight we're talking all things Prince George's County and specifically the legislative agenda for the county. And no one better to talk about that than the chairman of the county council. He is Todd Turner. He's joining us right now in studio. The phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you live in the county, used to live in the county, live around the county, and have concerns and questions, now is your chance to give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines right now to take our phone call. John is calling. Go right ahead, John, with your question or concern.
Yes, I have a concern about the property around exit 11. Forestville Road and Pennsylvania Avenue. There's a lot of strip mall down there and a lot of eyesores in those buildings that have where companies have left. I'm just wondering what the plans are, if there are any, for that particular area in Forestville, because there's a lot of promise there, you know, and a lot of money making opportunity in that area.
Thank you so much, John.
Thank you, John, for that question. Actually, working with the previous administration, our Prince George's County Economic Development Corporation, the Park and Planning Commission, we did a study about our retail centers in Prince George's County. And what we're doing as part of this budget, what we decided to do working with the Park and Planning Commission is to update that study. And what it told us was that we are over-retailed in Prince George's County, meaning that we have different levels of shopping opportunities. And that I would say, having passed through that area, although I don't represent that area directly, that's what's happening, is because the retail is getting smaller and there's less and less opportunity. So what you're getting is either vacancies or more localized kind of stores or retail opportunities as part of that, which is good because that also creates opportunities for entrepreneurs. And that's one direction that we have to head in as part of that. So the facade improvement program is part of that, to give some incentive to the owners of those properties in order to upgrade those properties. One of the also things that was been talked about last year, after about a five-year process, the Prince George's County is finally, after 50 years, are updating our zoning ordinance to make it an opportunity, a little more flexibility, a little more certainty in the process as part of that, in order to address issues as they're occurring. Because we still have an old zoning ordinance that doesn't necessarily take into account what's occurring today.
And Chairman Turner, I live in the county, right?
So I would have to say, too, when you're talking about those zoning ordinances and the signs go up, right, that there's going to be a hearing, you live in the county. A lot of times those signs are in places where you may not see it until you're past it. They're not positioned in areas often that it's very easy to see. So has that come up? Is that an issue? Because obviously informing the public, giving them an opportunity to know what's coming down the pike is
That was one of the major conversation points. Park and Planning Commission hired an ITAL consultant for us to do part of the zoning ordinance as part of that. And one of the things was about having more effective community input as part of the process, on the front end of the process as you're developing, but also about the notification process. And so we've created in the ordinance that we've adopted, now it's not effective yet because we have to go through a second step of actually rezoning the properties in Prince George's County to be consistent with the zoning ordinance, because we went from over 70 different kinds of zones down to 40. So we almost cut it in half. So that's the opportunity to make sure that we get the community input as part of the process on the front end before you start seeing the signs going up to say that XYZ is coming in as part of that. There's stakeholder meetings that you can go through that we're requiring the development community to go through. Obviously, I represent two municipalities, the two largest municipalities in Prince George's County. They have stakeholder processes, and I obviously work with them closely as part of that process. So that's one of the things that by updating our ordinance, we've been able to address those kind of issues that we've heard from our residents before.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. Juanita is on the line. Go right ahead, Anita, with your question or comment.
Yes, thank you. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I'm calling in reference to the housing situation. Like you said, that it starts at home and the education starts at home. Well, there's kids that are not able to concentrate, or like in the poverty area, they're not able to concentrate because they're worried about their home state right now. And a home state is, some of them don't have homes. They're worried because they're in shelters. They're worried about their parents and stuff. What are you going to do about housing? Because that's a main situation for the young kids, because they're worried about where they're going to lay their head at.
Thank you so much, Anita.
I appreciate that question. For the first time, Prince George's County went through a comprehensive housing strategy process. That took about 2 years. We got the report earlier this year, looking at what we would want in our housing stock here in Prince George's County, what we have and what we would like, and how do we maintain, particularly for those older communities and who've establish Prince George's County as people are aging in place to have that opportunity. So we have now a roadmap for us to move forward as part of that process. Part of that is investing. We have a housing trust fund that we've finally started to invest in. We're talking about opportunities for different types of housing, depending on where you are. A large focus has been obviously on transit-oriented development, particularly around our 15 metro stations as part of that. One of the things that stood out, obviously, was about affordability. Now, that's a relative thing. It depends how much money you're earning, how much you can afford. And obviously, you mentioned earlier about being a very affluent community, but we have the whole spectrum in Prince George's County. And so what we want to do is, again, it's about resources ultimately, where we want to focus our limited resources to have the most impact. And so in those situations where people are falling down or they're, you know, being pushed out of other jurisdictions, and because generally Prince George's County is more affordable than other parts of the region, the problem is this region is not very affordable. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that came clear as part of our study. And I serve on the board of the Washington Council of Governments along with my colleague, Derek Davis. And so now the regional organizations are doing their housing part as well, because we can't do it alone in Prince George's County. We have to work with our regional partners, because what they do impacts what occurs to us and vice versa as part of that process. So that we're going to move forward with that, working with our Department of Housing and Community Development. And we actually have a great event coming up this Saturday. It's our annual housing fair over at the Wayne Curry Sports and Learning Complex. And it's pretty much all day. I think it's from 11 to 6, if I remember correctly. And it's an opportunity for those who have needs to come in and talk to housing providers, talk to government. We're actually giving away some free houses, if I remember correctly.
Free
houses. Hey. Yeah, somebody get a lucky winner as part of that process, as well as additional assistance. So that would be an opportunity to come in, particularly those families that may be struggling a little bit, to come in to see what kind of assistance we can provide.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking with Todd Turner, who's the chairman of the Prince George's County Council, and we're talking issues in the county. Chairman, county doing a good job picking up litter, cutting grass. I know the county exec made that a big issue in terms of picking up all those signs that are in the island areas in the middle of the road. But the state may be kind of falling behind on some of those state roads like Routes 210, Route 4, Route 214. Grass is high. How can the county work, push the state to take care of those things? What role can the county play in that?
Obviously, earlier this year, as part of the joint legislative agenda for Prince George's County, was some state legislation to make sure that we're coordinating with our state highway administration. For those who aren't familiar, if any road has a number on it, that's a state road. Obviously, we have our county roads, and then obviously we have some municipal roads as well. That legislation led to more coordination. I know WHUR participated in our cleanup day a couple of weeks ago. I've been along with my neighbors and our businesses along the street that I live near. We're part of the Adopt a Road program for Prince George's County, so we're out there a couple of times a year cleaning up as part of that. Listen, government can't do it all, and I know we've done a better job under this current administration. That's reflected in the budget that we passed, whether it was doing more cameras for illegal dumping in our neighborhoods. And we just had a recent incident where we captured a couple of people who were illegally dumping in Prince George's County, whether it's providing more inspectors in the Department of Permitting, Inspection, and Enforcement. Those are the kind of the quality of life things that people feel every single day as part of that. So we've done a good job. We're coordinating a little bit more. Obviously, it's been a very wet season so far, and so that means stuff grows a little bit quicker. I know that, trying to mow my lawn every couple of weeks. But it is going to be a community partnership. So I would definitely have people, if there is an issue, I'm in constant communication with the district that serves, the State Highway District that serves Prince George's County, very competent people, and they're very responsive once they know that something going on. The issue is there's so many lane miles both at the county and the state level that, you know, if you're only doing mowing once a month, you know, you're going to have that overgrowth as part of that. So So we just need to communicate a little bit better as part of that process. And they've done, I have to say, they've done a much better job recently, particularly in the mowing and cleaning up as part of that process. And now the county is partnering with them, and that we saw that with the cleanup event that we had.
I want to stay on the roads a little bit, but I want to make sure we go to the phone lines because I want to get to the I-270, I-495 sure. toll issues statewide, and also Route 210, Indian Head Highway, 210, that is 210.
Yep.
But let's go back to the phone lines to take another phone call. Rodney is on the line. Go right ahead, Rodney, with your question or your comment.
Yes, good afternoon, Chairman Turner. earlier, you talked about the public school system, and you limited discussions about education to the public schools. There's an education network that completes the entire experience for our young people. So I'd like to hear a little bit about some of those services, related services, such as the community college, a library system, and the arts that help complete that overall education experience.
Thank you so much, Rodney.
Thank you for that question. Yeah, so as part of our budget this year, we have focused particularly on youth with the county executive, also Brooks. Obviously, our summer youth program has been ramped up this year. We've almost doubled the amount of positions from about 3,000 to 6,000.
And when you say positions, a number of kids that can be part of it.
Be part of it, yes. Mm-hmm. So we're taking our cues from other our surrounding jurisdictions. We do a little bit more with that. And the county executive came in with that as a focus as part of that. She also had a focus, and we got state legislation to focus on youth sports. Not that everybody has to play sport, but they do provide, as you know, somebody who played football, basketball, baseball as a young person, provide those kind of life skills that you'll use for the rest of your life as part of that. We did increase funding for our libraries to include additional hours on Fridays and Sundays for most of the branches that we have, so people can use that resource if they want to do that.
For a while here, the libraries have been closed on Sundays universally, correct?
Are you saying? There were some that were open, so we provided additional funding and working with our library system to be able to do additional hours. Both some of them needed on Fridays, some of it needed on Sundays. Mm-hmm. The difficulty is that that's they have to get staff to volunteer for that, and so there is a cost associated with that. But mm-hmm. we undertook that, and the administration was very supportive of doing that as well. One of the things that we also do is obviously we consider education from not only K to 12, but also community college. So we were able to fund fully the request of the community college this year, additional as well as additional capital funding for the improvements that they've been doing. I don't know if you've been driven by there recently.
I teach over there.
The Culinary Arts Center yes. is a real center of attraction. I just got a notification today that they're opening up their new state-of-the-art center. Soon, and obviously they've been doing a lot of work on the Student Center and other Lanham Hall as well. So
there is a lot going on in Prince George's County, and this man knows all about it. He sees all of the numbers that are coming through, and he sees all of the information, all of the changes, all of the improvements and things that need to be worked on. We're going to continue with Prince George's County Council Chair Todd Turner and your phone calls, but we got to take a quick time out. This is the Insight segment. We'll be back right after this break. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bride in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight we're talking about the legislative agenda for Prince George's County, how things will happen and why they might happen. The person who can tell us all about it is here in studio with us. He is Todd Turner. He is the chairman of the Prince George's County Council. The phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Chairman Turner, let's talk a little bit. I said I wanted to go back to the roads a bit, and it's a little bit about infrastructure. Governor Hogan, I think today in a 2-1 vote, the commission had been set up talking about tolls, whether or not there's going to be toll roads on I-270 and 495. They've taken that first step to approve it. We're a long ways down the road, but they're moving in that direction. Your thoughts on that and how it will affect the county and drivers in the county?
So obviously the county council took up this issue recently. We've been following it since it was announced by the governor back in late 2017. There were a series of public sessions last year that talked about different alternatives that they would consider. I think there were 17 at that time. Went through that process, they got public input, and then they narrowed it down, for some reason, down to about five, including a no-build option. And all those, you know, the other ones that we were considering had some transit opportunities as part of that. So the council took a position, in essence, because this is the largest public-private partnership that would ever occur in the United States, that we said, slow down a little bit. Let's have more discussions about what this would mean, both to Prince George's County and to our neighboring jurisdiction in Montgomery County. And so we passed a resolution last month and sent a letter to the Board of Public Works just asking them for three basic things. One, that we got to do this financial analysis. Is it in the best interest of the residents of the state of Maryland and Prince George's and Montgomery counties to enter this type of partnership? Two, complete the environmental impacts. You know, the governor said originally that, you know, there will be no impacts to any houses or anything like that. And lo and behold, when the initial studies come out, obviously there are impacts, not only to private homes, to public land as well, parks as well. And so the third thing we asked for was include us. We have a long history in the state of Maryland of working cooperatively between the state and the local jurisdictions on our transportation priorities. We've got a successful public-private partnership right now working, being built, the Purple Line, something that took years, yes, to get to support, but now everybody supports as part of that. And so that hasn't been done, in my view, by the governor. He issued an edict, said this is an issue, and we're going to do this, and didn't necessarily listen to us as the local jurisdictions about what that impact is and how we might be able to do things different. So today's vote was the initial vote to classify the toll program as a public-private partnership. So that did move forward. However, in reading some of the reports, although I don't have everything in front of us right now, because it's a three-member panel, and the treasurer of the state of Maryland, Nancy Kopp, did not support it. Obviously, the governor did support it.
So he's on the panel.
He's on the panel. And the third wheel is our comptroller, Peter Franchot, who also happens to hail from Montgomery County. So as part of the discussion today, from what I understand, there were several amendments that were enacted, which responded to some of the concerns that were raised. We had a press conference with our partners, both in Montgomery and Frederick County, earlier this week on Monday, to talk about some alternatives that should be considered that were taken out and not part of that process. So some of those were put in as part of the negotiation today. Some of the phasing has now changed. It's now going to focus on the I-270 corridor for the first phase. The phase that impacts Prince George's County is in the third phase. And so it was also determined, from what I understand, that all the environmental impact statements for each of those phases will have to be completed before any of the project moves forward. Now, Prince George's County is not saying we don't want toll lanes. We've seen it. We've seen it in Virginia. We've even seen it in Maryland, up in Baltimore area. We know that's an option, but that's not the only option. Expanding roadway is not the only option. That's just going to create more traffic. If you build it, they will come, is the old saying, right? And so I know for those who have to ride on the roads every single day to get to work, to get to church, to get to retail, as part of that, they want a solution. But we want a solution that is effective for every kind of commuter.
And how unusual is it that whoever the private partner is, they will keep the majority of that toll money for infinity?
50 years is what I understand the opportunity would be.
Is that a good deal?
That's a good question. See, that's why we ask for a financial analysis before we head down the road, no pun intended, to say, is this in the best interest of the state? The administration, the governor will say, well, we don't have enough funding to do these improvements as government. And that may be true. We know it costs a lot of money to build additional transit, roads, opportunities. And we've worked cooperatively. You know, the historic funding that we have now between Maryland, Virginia, and the District of Columbia to have a dedicated source for Metro as part of that process. So these all come together. We call it multimodal for a reason, that it's not simply expansion of the roads. It's also getting cars off the road, either by, you know, telecommuting, that's a, you know, something that's coming up, or having more transit for people to move quicker. What I understand from today's discussion was that Mr. Franchot was able to negotiate that part of the toll proceeds, about 10% from what I understand, would go to transit, particularly in Prince George's and Montgomery County. So that's a step forward. The other thing is that buses and other mass transit would also ride free on the toll roads. So people will get the benefit of getting somewhere quicker without necessarily have to pay higher tolls, which has been an issue in Virginia.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the legislative plans for Prince George's County in the upcoming year and beyond. Let's go back to the phone lines. If we can, on the line is Angelo. Go right ahead with your question or your comment.
Good evening to everyone.
Good evening.
Evening.
All right, yes. I live in, I believe, Ward 9. I'm right off of Allentown Road, right across the street from Joint Andrews Air Force Base. And I just have a question. Does anybody know anything about, would there be any type of high-end businesses that would be coming in, into that media area, you know, like a Safeway, Giant, Walmart, things that will drive the business and up the value of our homes, per se, if you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I appreciate the question. Obviously, although I'm the council chair, I only represent a small part of the about one-ninth of the entire county as part of that. What I would recommend is that you reach out to your individual council member for that area about what type of development you'd like to see and what type of development may be occurring. Some of the in around Joint Base Andrews, there's some additional development that's going on called Westphalia along Pennsylvania Avenue. That's both residential and commercial and retail as part of that. That's a major project for the central part of Prince George's County. And I know my council colleague, Councilmember Davis, that's in his district. Obviously, there's additional work going on around the Branch Avenue Metro. We have a federal tenant that's coming in that will provide some opportunity, you know, for additional growth in that area. So there are things that are occurring in the general vicinity of Joint Base Andrews. Obviously, we have a great partnership with the military there. And so there are definitely, it's the right time in Prince George's County for the kind of development that we want to occur.
Thank you so much, Angelo, for your call. Since we're talking about development in our last few minutes, Mr. Chairman, Cap Boulevard, there was a lot of hope for that. Folks are always asking in the county, we want high-end. You had DSW, very nice. You had nice restaurants, Bonefish Grill. You had H.H. Gregg, and I'm sure I'm missing some of the great shops that were there. Now that area is barren, and they're talking about redeveloping it again. What is, number one, as best you can speak to, Cap Boulevard? What's the future look like for that? And what is the issue with keeping those high-end stores here? We ask for them, we get some, but then they don't stay very long.
Right. So obviously right now the Cap Center, the Boulevard, is undergoing another opportunity for development. Obviously the focal point of our development right there is now the new Regional Medical Center with the University of Maryland Capital Regional Health. Obviously, that's going up as we speak. We're hoping to have that open in 2021. The company that owns the rest of the Boulevard has come forward with a proposal with respect to redeveloping that area as well, consistent with what we're now calling Downtown Largo. Many may not know that part of the county administration building is now moved over to McCormick Drive. The county executive is there. We'll hopefully be eventually moving some more offices in that area. We have a lot of our current offices there for our departments. And so we wanted that to be a more central location for folks. We understand that it is difficult to get to Upper Marlboro. As part of that, Upper Marlboro will still be the seat of government in Prince George's County with our court system, so that will not change.
I was going to ask you, and I know the music is playing, but when you hear sort of that slow incremental move, I'm sure folks are out there going, does that mean at some point Upper Marlboro will not be the main place where the county government is placed?
It will still be the seat of Prince George's County as part of that. And the good thing is we get to backfill and have uses in the county administration building that are now we're paying for as part of that. So there is a benefit by providing more space for the court system, the sheriff's office as well.
He is the chairman of the Prince George's County Council. He is Todd Turner. We thank you so much for joining us. I know we wanted to get on a quick issue about health, but we're running out of time, so that means you must come back.
That's fine.
Thank you so much, Chairman. That's the Daily Drum on HRR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. For this Wednesday, June 5th, I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The Connection is next. Have a great night.